Hey guys, Dirt here. I just wanted to pop in and leave a quick note before we get started on this week's episode. I was out of town actually when this episode was being recorded, and so I remotely logged into my computer and I set everything up. I told it to record, it recorded. I shut down my tablet I was using to log in, and I went about my business. And I got some very confused, awkward, excited messages from Joe and Tyler a few minutes later, because it turns out I forgot to turn off the microphone on my computer. And this was a little awkward because, as it turns out, I was the only one that had left town. My family was still there, and I guess my son was having some bad luck in video games and started freaking out. And it all got recorded in the middle of this episode. So you will hear some yelling and some background noises until I was able to log back in and remotely turn off the microphone. So I apologize for that, but I think it does make for some interesting listening.
Everyone, and welcome to episode 99 of Fans of Power. I am Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. And T-Rex, I apologize for this blurriness. I'm having to use my laptop just temporarily, so hopefully I'll be able to switch over sometime during the show to the portable. So I hope at least I can be heard okay. I know the...
Be heard, yeah. You're flip-flopping from the icon to a blurred, like... You know, slightly moving version of Rotten Tomato there.
Oh, God. So then what I want to do probably isn't going to work that well when I explain, because first let me switch over because I'm going to have to check and see who we have in the chat room. I just wanted to say hello to... We had Pat Crow in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. We have JSP. And we got our buddy Karsten's here. Well, look at that. Yeah, no, nothing's wrong, Karsten. Everything's still working. We were just a little late. Apologize for being late because there were a few people that were watching that kind of dropped out of us because they, well, probably didn't think we were showing. But we're here, guys, so don't worry about it.
We're going to be here. Occasionally we'll have some temporary delays, but it doesn't happen too much. But we come hell or high water. We're like the NBA on Christmas Day. We're always going to be playing.
There we go. So we're here. We are here. And like I said, I apologize for that delay. We have a couple topics today. We're going to be discussing a cool book. We'll be doing a commentary for one of the Filmation episodes. A very good one with a very cool character. But I wanted to start off with just a...
And I want to start off with a little rant towards Joe here.
Oh, go ahead. Hit it, because I was going to do a rant, but you go ahead. Rant first.
This has nothing to do with He-Man. This has something to do with what he was harping on. Joe was determined to tell me that Kid Chameleon would just change my life.
Oh, here we go. Now he's going to put it down. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, it's Sonic the Hedgehog with a boy. And Joe
No.
Oh, yes.
You are out of your mind. You don't know what...
Hedgehog. With a boy that changes outfits.
You are insane. That's like saying any platformer like Mario, Castlevania.
I didn't play a whole lot of Sega games, but I did play Sonic here and there. People who had Sega, and that looked no different than Sonic.
You are on drugs. And anybody out there who has played Kid Chameleon as a Sega fan would say the same thing.
You're like a great snake oil salesman traveling from town to town saying, buy this video game. It'll change your life. It'll make your hair grow more lush and...
But you're one of these lunatics that wears those pop bottle glasses, because there's no way anybody could look at Kid Chameleon and Sonic and say, oh, no, they're the same game.
Well,
except one's a boy. You are on crack.
Because I see this little character bouncing all over the place, which looks like a background very similar to Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, you could say that for any platform where they have certain background levels similar, Kid Chameleon is completely different. It could be saying it's like Wonder Boy. It could be saying it's like Mario. It could be saying it's like...
How about this? I'll say that Kid Chameleon is no different than playing McKids on NES.
Now that's even worse. Now that deserves a nut punch from me to you, because you are crazy. Kid Chameleon is loaded with so many different types of characters in that game. So that's a side rant, but we'll bring that up another time. But in no way, that's just like comparing all side-scrolling 2D games.
I just tell Joe that. I'm like, what the hell? This is Sonic the Hedgehog.
You are on drugs. That's like, okay, he's Bubsy. oh, it's Ristar. It's like, okay, God, Zool, you're nuts. Okay, now it's time for my rant. Like I said, I mean, when we do the show, it's always, like I said, I'm always trying to be positive. Like I said, there's stuff we don't like, hey, we don't like. Just like fans out there, if there's things you don't like, more power to you. But there's something that I caught recently that just really annoyed me. Now, I'm going to try to show it. Of course, now with this camera, how horrible it is, I don't even know if it'll pick up. But does this even show up, Tyler, when I'm showing this? Hold on. I'm sorry, because I can't see what the hell I'm doing.
You're getting, all right, I can see Rotar's name under Twistoid and Twistoid under Rotar.
There you go. You said it all. What genius put this box set together? Now, the reason I'm saying this is, like I said, I haven't opened this box set. And I sat there and looked, and I was like, okay, when you look at the Flying Fist He-Man, Terrorclaw Skeletor, and the Laser version, Laser Power ones, they're both under their proper name. Why did they put Twistoid where Rotar's name is, and Rotar where Twistoid's name is? Now, here's the thing that annoys me about this. These are two characters that already, you might as well say from a lot of the casual fans, don't really know who the heck is Rotar, who Twistoid is, because remember, they call him the Twistoids, they call them the spinning guys. They don't even know that they're called the energy zoids. But so you're taking two characters that a lot of people don't know, and you're confusing them even more. Meaning now some people might look at this who are casual fans and think that Twistoid is Rotar and Rotar is Twistoid. Here's the other thing that kills me. For Rotar, they kept his vintage tagline under his name of Heroic Master of Hyperspin. But as for Twistoid, who has his tagline from the vintage one about being an evil spinning robot or whatever it was something to that degree. Now, Twistoid has a new tagline of evil energy cyborg. Two things about this. One, why change the tagline when you didn't change it for Rotar? You could have kept it for Twistoid. But two, if you're changing the tagline, why are you calling him a cyborg? A cyborg is a man or a living being that has parts of mechanics on it, and cybernetics to make it part man, part robot, part living being, part robot. That's what a cyborg is. Twistoid is a robot. That's all he is a robot. He is not a cyborg. So again, that shows the double part where they screwed, where they don't show the love for this. Third thing is, on the back for their bios, it mentions that at some point during one of these battles, that Rotar, I guess, you know, defeated Twistoid so badly that they had to take Twistoid's robotic brain and then implant it into a Rotom. So it would be a self-aware vehicle for Skeletine's evil forces in his fight against Hero. It's like, are you seriously giving an origin to a vehicle? Okay, you actually have to take Twistoid's brain and now that's a Rotar. Nonsense. Last rant about this. The reason I'm doing this, it just shows there was zero care and love that went into making, I believe, this two-pack's design, the stupid bios, everything. The last sentence for Rotar's bio says, he often goes head-to-head. Wait, hold on a second. I'm hearing Doug. I don't know if Doug knows, but Doug's mic is on. And I thought it was you the whole time, but Doug's microphone has been on this whole time. I hope somehow we can message him to make sure he clicks it off. I apologize that for everyone, but his mic's been on. It's still on. But, okay, Rotar's last sentence. It says, he often goes head-to-head with Skeletor's Gyro-Man Twistoid, spinning and twisting to defeat him any cost. Not at any cost, but any cost. So it's like you can't even catch errors that are wrong when it's grammatical to where you should know how the sentence should flow. So they don't see that. They don't see this. I had a rant about it. I apologize. Tyler, you go ahead with that because I'm going to send Doug a message to let him know his mic has been on this whole time. But go ahead. I just would like to hear your side because it drives me insane.
I completely was oblivious to all of it because I didn't give a rat's ass about. I stopped caring about bios a long time ago, like in the early beginnings of Classics, and everyone kept pissing me off, and I sure also didn't want to read what Scott Knightley was going to come up with Rotar and Twistoid, and I didn't notice. I don't know if mine, maybe others said the same thing about the package. I didn't know. All I cared about is I want to get those damn legs off of them and put them in what they were supposed to be, you know, not you know, cyborgs or human beings with legs. I just, that was a stupid idea. I can't believe that they agreed to do that ridiculous idea to help sell those better to fans who are not aware of them.
And that's been my biggest rant. Also, what I used to say, I always said, okay, I understand that they're trying to make things all blend together with legs, but no, these characters were never designed with legs in the Vintage line. And also, their mini comic that it came from, all you heard at the beginning was Man-Arm saved a warrior's life who was in battle. They never said if Rotar was a centaur warrior, a fishman, a human, or whatever. So at some point, yeah, let's say he had legs. So you gave him legs now as an option. Well, the thing is, if the leg option is to represent him as being before he got injured, do you think he would have had that breathing apparatus also? He wouldn't have this. That breathing apparatus is probably part of his injury. So you might as well take that off. He'd look completely different. But let's say, for the sake of just being cool.
I know!
Oh, sorry again, guys. We can't get Doug. Doug is doing this remotely. We can't shut off the microphone. I wish we could. I am so sorry about this. I
really disagree with your thoughts there,
Joe. Yeah, exactly. Somebody said, no, I don't think. Well, anyways. Okay, let's say for the sake of being fun, that let's give Rotar legs. Okay. But Twistoid? No. Twistoid, no way in the world ever should have legs, because he's designed from the gyro machine that Man-at-Arms created to make spinning robots.
Okay,
guys, I am so sorry. This is kind of hilarious at the same time. Terrible. I'm trying to do a rant, and we hear background. They can't hear us. Doug can't hear us. I am so sorry. But anyways, Twistoid never. He would never have the legs. You know, I feel like my rant is going down for nothing because I don't think people are into it because they're going to hear this crazy background. So, yes. Yeah, so, well, let's see. Tyler, you take over because I got to try to get Doug. I got to get him. I'm sorry. Go, Tyler.
He wasn't muted, was he?
Guys, turn off the mic. If you can hear us, please turn off the mic.
He's jingling around.
He's not.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to say something while I try to get Doug. I have to try to post on his.
Yeah, he isn't yet.
Does anyone there know how to turn off the mic? My God. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm trying to keep it going.
Like sort of like when a stranger calls, we have like, you know, someone's going to say, you know, the call's coming from inside the house there, Joe.
This is terrible. I can't. My whole moment, it's just shut down. I think people are going to think, this doesn't sound very good at all.
Your rant about a box set from 2 or 3 years ago is completely down the commode.
It's down. So, like I said, anything else I was going to say of this other rant, I can't do. We definitely can't do the commentary thing, and we can't.
No.
Well, guys, we got to.
They're being kicked around over there.
Jesus, we're getting live abuse on. Hey, guys, if anything, you're getting abuse live on a podcast. CJSP, he's cracking up. Carson said as long as he isn't beating his kids. Well, I guess he's not, but there's no way he could turn off this mic. This is throwing me for a loop. We can't do our commentary in the background.
So that's what makes Fans of Power so special is, you know what, we're live, man. We are like when Raw screws up or something you don't expect happens on Raw, that's us, man.
Okay, people are
going to completely unscripted. We may have an idea where we're going, but we can't predict what's going to happen specifically. So
we can't at all. So we're going to definitely probably have to switch things up. There's no way we can do the commentary, but I'm still going to continue with something else.
Voice cuts down, we are doing that commentary, man. I got all ready to go for that commentary.
All right, well, here. I'm going to also... hold on a second. I can't hear nothing now.
All right, I can't hear you.
Wait, I hear Tyler. Okay, Tyler, you got me.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, they finally clicked it off. Oh, thank God. Okay. Well, all right, guys, again, thank you for hanging in there. Apologize for that. But no, again, like I was saying about the box set, there was just a lot of things in there that just really rubbed me the wrong way because these are characters I truly, truly love. I've always loved them so much, you know, the vintage figures and playing with them. But to see them just get so many screw-ups on the box to where they're placed in the wrong spot, to see the horrible new tagline describing a robot is now a cyborg because he's not a cyborg, and then the nonsense on the back's annoying. But the legs, like I said, if you want to justify for Rotar, go right ahead and justify.
All right. So just to let you know, Doug is chiming in as we're talking here. He can't do anything about it because he's not home.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, at least he got messages.
Yeah. I thought maybe you were sending it, you know, but no, he can't fix that. So if it happens again, he's not at home. So.
Well, I think what was good is me putting it out. Messages
won't help the situation, just so you know.
All right. Well, I was thinking, at least hoping, since I put the message on his wall, hopefully he's seen it to then tell his wife.
Well, so. he saw it and it's popping up, and he's saying, "I can't do anything about it. I'm not home."
But at least his wife did for him, I think. So that's good.
Well, someone shut it off.
Yeah, that's what I mean. At least that's good. Yeah. So, anyways, like I said, if anything, yes, Rotar can have legs, but in no God's way would Twistoid, because Twistoid was never designed ever to supposed to have be legs. I mean, have legs. Those were purely spinning robots. So
send Doug a message real quick so he doesn't panic or worry about it. He said he's rolling as fast as he can. The guy, he doesn't need to rush home or anything like that since the mic's cut off or something.
Okay. I sent him a message. All right. So that's that quick side. All right. So that's that quick side rant. Yeah, live is the best, JSP, no doubt. But now the next one that I just wanted to talk about.
Well, no, but it just goes to show you that this whole approach to new He-Man toys by including, you know, it's like the majority of it's catered to casual fans or whoever just happens to go and vote frequently, you know, and it's like it doesn't speak for everybody. And I feel like, you know, if you're going to do all these figures, you can't be sitting there trying to cater to a, you know, the fans who are, well, yeah, clearly just casual fans who only know some of the basics, while us hardcore fans have to suffer, you know, with this, you know, obviously you could take those legs off, but it was just acknowledging the simple fact that you don't think that these classic figures would do well with He-Man fans simply because people are going down the street and flipping trash cans and setting themselves on fire and protest because these characters who didn't come with legs and were not made to have legs
should never have it.
Don't have legs, so I can't display them without legs. And it was just it was so stupid. I couldn't believe that Mattel's actually listening to these morons. And
it was a waste to me. I mean, like I said, it's a waste of obviously plastic tooling. You could have saved money by
we could have gotten some Trollins in some of these, you know, larger packs. Instead, we get legs that who the hell wants these? You know,
that's what I mean. It was just, to me, it was just an absolute.
Well, why not? If we're doing that, why not give Orko legs too?
You know I said that and somebody didn't like that.
It's no different.
No, and the thing is, I brought that up to somebody and they didn't like that. They're like, but wait a second, but Orko, he never was shown to have legs. I was like, exactly. These guys weren't either. There's exceptions to the rule. There's certain characters, they were designed a certain way to still blend in with Masters, but this is how they're designed.
It's a shame the podcast wasn't going on back then. I felt like we could have added a much more vocal.
I wish, because like I said, energy's always
the powers that be would listen to us.
But they could have. It's possible. But like I said, energy's always no legs, just like the hoverbots. Hoverbots never had legs. Thank God they didn't get them to fit in. There's certain things that should have been, there were made a certain way to be that way. So I, like I said, these legs mean nothing to me, but there was zero love shown into this box set. The characters, the background with the bios, just horrible. So I just want to say, and if people love the legs, hey, great. I mean, if you like them, you like them. No problem. I hope you love them. I'm just saying for myself, cannot stand the legs. That's that. My second quick little rant, not a big rant, but there's a poll up, and it's to talk about what
you know. That poll is very and heavy. Dear God.
Well, here, let me just, I'll say a little something about this poll. There's a poll that's going on a website about, like, you know, 2018 character polls. Would you want this character, yes or no? Now, again, it's great. People can like what they want. But here's my big but. There's too much nonsense in this poll. When you're putting stuff like Buzz Off, Baby Buzz Off from the current DC comic, where it's in one image, I'm like, huh? You're showing little baby Cringer from the DC comic. We've had Cringer where he, you know, was in Cringer form or Cub form in Filmation and NYP. I would prefer that. But here's other stuff. Sleepwear Adora. It's like, okay, so then do we get Prince Adam in Sleepwear, King Randor, Queen Marlena, Duncan, Teela, and Sorcerer? It's like, quit with the nonsense. Quit with the stupid variants that you know almost nobody wants. It's a waste of time. Am I saying people don't want those possibly? No, I'm sure there are some, but if you want to get down to some of the meaty characters that people are really wanting, cut back the nonsense. There was way too many of these things that just, to me, it's a waste of a spot to even look at to click yes or no. Don't even put it up there. I couldn't believe when I looked at these polls.
That poll was only the first part because, like, the list of characters only went to, like, letter D or something like that. Like, it wasn't, you know, it's almost like it's going to be broken up into, like, three polls because apparently there's a ton of variants.
Yeah. You can tell they're going from the compendium book. That's what they're kind of looking at. It's just slow down, guys.
I didn't catch it. Maybe I missed it because there was a bunch of, you know, just, you know, crap thrown in on that poll. I didn't see Dragoon on there.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and there's a character I didn't see. And somebody brought up a good point. They said, well, maybe they're going to sell some of the, or save some of these for the bigger, maybe oversized beasts. Because I said, where was Cambro? You don't have Cambro? I mean, this is an actual character from the cartoon. People know, and maybe some don't, but people will recognize him. But you're going to put in Baby Buzz Off from one image in a current DC comic? I was like, oh, stop. That's just too much. It's like, it's a waste. Don't waste our time of what we want to vote for by putting in nonsense. Like I said, I'm always trying to be positive and cool, but when I see things that to me are just over the top.
I will say this, and if for some reason after we get, you know, the dial-a mug set and all that, and what we're told is Super 7 is going to do a bunch of variants, you know, I mean, variants of the characters, I'm like, I could care less about getting Beastman in his ringmaster form of in the Beastly Sideshow. I don't want a variant of, you know, Adora laying in bed or riding on Swiftwind
in that cloak. Yeah. It's like
these things that are a slight alteration of the character in one or two Filmation episodes. I don't want Butthead in clown outfit. I mean, it's just like, dude, these aren't legitimate, you know, ideas for variants at all. You guys just clamoring everything, and there's tons of one-shot characters like Bear Man from Pawns of the Game Master. Why wouldn't you put him? No. We got about three or four, you know, half a dozen variants of Adora in various little outfits here, and then we're going to have Prince Adam in various little outfits here too. Aside from all the actual one-shot villains and heroes that have shown up throughout this. Oh, look, Angry Villager. Let's put the Angry Villager in the toy.
I couldn't believe that's what I mean. It's just absolutely, you know, like, over the top.
People, you know, look, I love buying He-Man toys. This is my greatest passion here. But I can tell you, I am not shelling out money for mindless variants and background characters that have nothing to do with the story. They're not actual. They're background characters. I'm not putting down money for a sub. That's when I stop. That's game over for me. I'm not putting down $150, you know, for Filmation background characters and Filmation variants, and then another $150, you know, for, you know, all these ridiculous, like Chef Allen and stuff like that. Dude,
no, but if you're to do them, again, if you're to want any of these so-called crazy variants of them in the sleep outfit or her in her riding robe, you know what? Why don't you just release a pack with the outfit variants, like how you have weapons pack and head packs? Just give us a pack with this outfit, that outfit, because there is no way I would shell out money to have any of them in some goofy variant outfit that just, to me, is a complete waste. Like I said, you want real characters. We're going to be speaking of one in a bit. Selyse, give us Selyse. She's at least in the poll, I think. But yes, give us
new characters. It really needs to be focused on strictly actual characters, you know, not background stuff and not clothing variants, for crying out loud. Let's not let this turn into Star Wars where everyone's buying like every single little minor variant that, you know, with this and this and this and this, and it's practically the same figure, but with the slight alteration, just to bleed Star Wars fans dry. And, you know, I don't want He-Man to get to that point where we're shelling out, you know, a lot of money for just variants. You know, I mean, we've got King Helios with the Fire People. You've got Spider. You've got all three members of the Pawn Master Gang, the Game Master himself, Trollins. We've yet to get Trollins and Widgets and, you know,
so many things.
Queen Elmora from She Demon of Phantos.
Mm hmm. There's plenty.
You know, and yes, on that list, there were some. I mean, Azrog was on there, which I was surprised.
Which is good to see. There were some, but then there's the over-the-top stuff. Like, just don't waste our time with the silly ones. And when people seen what I said, I mean, most of them knew what I was talking about. Leave the nonsense off. Stick to actual characters that are new characters that would be great to display in your collection. I'm not for all these 5,000 variants. It's just, I just had to rant that. So that's when I wanted to rant. But hey, if you guys love it, I mean, everybody's their own person. They like different things. If you like them, great. But for me, God forbid, I do not want to see Baby Buzz Off. Why? What does that mean?
People have thrown fits over previous ways. We're like, oh, man, we're getting that guy. I ain't buying this no more.
Could you imagine
that?
It's safe
to say that if we get like three versions of Baby Cringer and Little Adam, as in people are expected to pay full price for these variants, along with Adora in her PJs, I really think there's going to be a lot of sale issues if that's going to become an actual, you know, possibility that you are expected to buy, because it looks like this is the template that Super 7 is going to be going with. You're going to be buying sets of four, or maybe possibly even more. You're not going to be able to buy individual figures here.
And even if they're doing it in joking, let's say, of these, like, no, don't tempt the gods.
Don't tempt the gods with Skeletor.
Because, yeah, that's what I mean. Don't tempt the gods with it, because we do not want this to happen. Trust me, you guys go to a lot of other places. Don't just focus on one place for what fans want. Go to multiple Facebook pages. Go to Instagram. Go to Twitter. I see thousands of fans. And believe me, it's quite different on Facebook pages and others, which you see on just one particular place. It's good source.
Website shouldn't speak for everybody.
That's what I mean. It's a good source. Nothing wrong with that.
Everybody goes to that website, so it's not fair for what few people that just go to that website and that's it, decide the fate of all for all of us here.
And it's, like I said, don't get me wrong. I mean, that is a portion of the fans too. It's good. Get their opinion. But along with them, get
everybody.
That's what I mean. It doesn't speak for everybody. Get everybody's. Get the website. Get the places on Facebook. Get Instagram. Get Twitter. Get, you know, there's a lot of places to go. Just never stick with one. So that was that quick rant. But, well, did you want to rant anything? Anything you want to spit before we touch at least one of these topics? Because we'll save our commentary for last, because I'll talk about...
I kind of feel like I'm blown on ranting about bios. They piss me off. I can't believe we're still getting them. And, you know, I'm kind of exhausted, because I just feel like they're going to keep coming, you know, and it's just... It bothers me because casual fans are going to see these ridiculously written little, you know, stories of these characters and think that these are the real deal. And then they're going to be posting stuff and thinking that this is the Bible, you know, with the new canon is through these bios. And then casual fans are going to be putting this stuff out there. And then idiots who decide I'm going to make a new He-Man movie. I'll look to the bios for information here. And then they got out there, they're pulling all this. It just worries me because people are looking to that because, you know, they're not like, dude, those are completely made up stories, you know, because they thought it would be cute for one person to reinvent all these characters and add power vests and all this other crap and non-techno viruses. And now you got people running around thinking that this is the truth. You know, not that everybody feels that way, but that's what bothers me, that the bios keep coming along and people are going to start taking it seriously, you know, with, you know, previous works that have come out and coming up with the background for Mechanic and the background for Skeletor and the background for Beastman and Clawful and so on.
And now
so
a background for the Rotom vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, right there, the bios for Rotar and Twistoid are absolutely dreadful, and someone who's not as familiar with them are just going to read the back of that and think, oh, well, this is what really goes on with those guys. This is what's really happened there. I'm going to go to social media and start telling everybody why these characters suck because of the bios, and thinking that that's the truth. It's like, no, that's what makes me so mad, because the bio information shows up in comic books written by DC, the really poorly done ones, or any kind of crossover that could have been a great idea, then it just got pissed all over by someone who had no business writing it. And, you know, it's just, it's doing a disservice for the hardcore fans who know it not to be true. But then you got people who don't know much about He-Man in positions of power. They're going to be using this incoherent drivel to be source material to create more media for the fans who are, we want to see the hardcore material. We don't want to see what some moron read on a bio or, you know, saw on a really bad DC, you know, New 52 comic book or something like that with ugly art. You know, it just worries me that this stuff is going to be carried on by people who don't want to research much or actually do their homework and watch Filmation, watch or read a lot of the mini comics, Golden Books, read the Bible and pull good ideas from that. It's,
you know, that's why I'll bring up another thing is when you look at the amazing thing that James and Dusen are doing for the Return of Faker cartoon. Look at how excited fans are to see that, you know, a cartoon is being made that looks like, you know, the old style. And it's, you know, they're cleverly using the voices.
Yeah, because those guys, they're not taking liberties. They're not going through in it. I mean, it clearly, you know, I would trust those guys within. I would trust them. Hey, Dusen, let's see what Stinkor would look like in Filmation style with your talents. There's my challenge.
And he'll do it. And that's what I love is he'll show up. But see, that's the thing. Like, yeah. I said, we're not open to change. I love anything new and unique, but the stuff that they've been giving us has been pretty horrible. I don't enjoy it myself. Well, the figures are amazing.
We're not doing the whole, like, where the old man sitting on the porch and telling the kids to get off my yard and stuff like that. No.
No, if you're going to do it some service.
All this stuff has been put out there for people to look at and read and see, and somebody decides to come along and say, oh, I'm going to make a name for myself, and I don't like the background for Buzz Off here. I'm going to change that. I don't like the background for Skeletor. I'm going to create my own here. And, you know, it's just like we have entirely too many people trying to come back through and reinvent the wheel here. Has nobody learned that less is more? You know, about your horror villains, the less threatening they become. If we come to find out that Jaws in the first Jaws movie, you know, was a mad scientist creation, it becomes a little less threatening.
Yeah, like I said, that's fine. I don't care.
People in Amity.
For half, like I said, all the bios, you don't need half the time. I mean, when you look at somebody that just reinvented it properly, when they did the MYP cartoon, I think they did a magnificent job of reinventing and then bringing new life to different characters and a different origin. They did
Completely.
But a good point. There was a lot of them that really did well. Not all of them, but a good amount of them, they did well. But it just feels like with these bios, it's just, I honestly couldn't stand half of their names, the bios. But you know what? I don't want to rant on that because we've done that way too many different times. But that's just that quick little rant.
I just get mad and just kind of, you know, I feel like I shouldn't be stressing over such stuff that I'm like, I do not care at all if they're still written or not because I never read them. I don't care about them.
Like I said, people like them, let them like them. Who cares? Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, we don't want to harp. Like I said, we don't want to harp. Yeah. Like I said, that's just our opinion. And for people that, they like it, that's cool. I mean, if they like it, fantastic, but not a big fan. But what I was going to mention, now we'll talk about a book. And what I like is, you know, I know that these, maybe a lot of people haven't read them, but the Lady Bird books that they have, and I had
Joe didn't send me the link for that at all.
I did it in the chat box for Hangouts. I thought I put it in there. I think yes, I did. I'm going. Hold on a second. Not in Hangouts, but on our message on Facebook.
Nope, you didn't do it.
I'm gonna look right now because I apologize, fans. But that's what live is. We love going live. We love doing this stuff live. But I think in our Fans of Power chat box, I put a link there when our producer asked us, what are we going to be watching or what are we talking about tonight? And let's see. What the heck? Wait, hold on a second. I thought I clicked it. Oh, Lord. Oh, man. Joe has failed. Okay, guys.
Man, I'm tired of being right.
You're right there. I will. I apologize. I didn't even link that to Tyler. So Tyler is probably going to be able to – are you going to be able to join in? Did you
try? No, I just assumed it was available to watch to look at on YouTube. So I'm like, okay, if Joe didn't say me this, show up and say,
I really thought
Otto, you know, I seem to recall you were going to send me the link of something we were going to discuss. And
guys, I was at the tip of my fingers. Something must have happened. I forgot to click it. But either way, to talk about this
with his diva lifestyle of people hitting him up for this and that and telling him how great his work is. And
this is the most fumbled
1,000 versions of your own Skelcon. And I want to customize this and I customize that. And, you know,
this has been the most fumbled up episode. I got from start to me right now. And Tyler is not going to even be able to engage in this conversation.
I already read the story, Joe.
Oh, you did? Okay. All right, well, this story here, what I do like about it is you do get to see the Skelcons. You see them in quite a bit of the Lady Bird books anyways. It's not like saying, this is the only story they're in. You get to see them, you know, in a lot of the other books. But you also get to see a different look of some of Merman's minions, these sea people that he has. You get to see these characters that work for Man-at-Arms to help him. I don't know if they're called Nerva. I don't know. They're called something.
Nervins.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's these green little guys. But it's a different plot because they want to try to cause a flood to where this flood's going to make all these sea creatures and come to Castle Grayskull, which they put this kind of like this like bubble prison over so they couldn't use electronics and things. But to see Castle Grayskull being flooded up like that and sea creatures attacking, I loved reading it in the book, but I was like, you know, I don't know. They couldn't obviously pull it off in the Filmation cartoon because, you know, there would be no way of flooding. But to see Castle Grayskull under that kind of danger, I was like, that's a different kind of, like, thing to happen, where it's being flooded to where creatures are attacking. And then, you know, I think they referred to He-Man's sword. They said his power sword or whatever wouldn't work. I was like, that's kind of weird. They have, like, a different take.
Energy blades in that book.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, they might have been doing a lot of the references to that, because I think they even referenced Skeletor's, you know, sword in the same way. But you also see Sorceress isn't in Castle Grayskull. It's like Teela's in there. Teela's there, Stratos is there, and He-Man's not there at the time because he's supposed to be in disguise as the bumbling Prince Adam back at the palace or whatever. But I found it interesting that, yes, they are not using the Sorceress in this, and Teela uses her, you know, telepathy or way of communicating to bring He-Man to Castle Grayskull. I was like, oh, so they kind of gave her the Sorceress's role in a way. I didn't know if you picked up on that, but I thought that was a kind of different twist to this story. Did I go blank? Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I thought my mic went out. But no, I did like I said, her portrayal. It seems like they made it seem like everybody's at, like, Castle Grayskull, it's at a base to where, I know we've seen it in other comics and stuff where they have them sometimes there, and in some stories, people even living there. I think, like, in some stories, you see He-Man living in Castle Grayskull, which is something, you know, you don't see in a lot of, you know, media. Whether it's the books, the comics, or obviously the cartoons.
Every time, I'm sure it'll show up in the bios that He-Man lives in Castle Grayskull.
I think it was another story I'm talking about one time, but I think he was in a bed living in Castle Grayskull. Just strange, but this one just, it had a lot of different things going on to where, like I said, there's a lot of different characters that are in this, different ways of them trying to, like, take over Castle Grayskull. It's a unique plot. I like seeing all these different people that work for everybody. It's like, God, not only Skeletor has people working for him, Man-at-Arms has people working for him. And yes, we see a different side of Merman's sea minions, but we know we've seen that before. We've seen it in the cartoons where he has people that are, you know, working for him, if you will. But this one, like I said, it was not one of the big bang blockbuster ones, but I always like seeing how different books and different stories are from different countries, just their takes on things. How they combine, how they mix, kind of, if you will, medias and things and different stories, just to kind of roll up and twist to make their own little thing.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a very bad story at all. The inclusion of the big drill that projects energy from the inside the core of the planet was a bit confusing, but. The idea of flooding the area around Castle Grayskull so that it leaves it susceptible to attack, and having all these various octopuses and large, you know, creatures of all kinds trying to attack the heroic warriors while they're stranded at the Castle Grayskull, it was a fun idea. It was fun to see them, you know, at the parapets, you know, He-Man, you know, fighting off, you know, creatures trying to climb or crawl up there and eat them and things like that. So it was, I could have seen that as a Filmation episode. I could have easily seen, Castle Grayskull being, you know, heavily flooded to where a lot of creatures are attacking and they're stranded. I mean, that's something I actually would have liked to have seen.
Yeah, because it makes you feel like they're crippled. They're crippled and stuck
in
there.
Yeah, to have them stranded there, you know, fighting through the night, like this variety of, you know, sea monsters attacking the castle. I would like to have seen that. I think that would have looked really, really cool, especially because Filmation, you know, they had some duds when it came to monsters, but they also had some really cool creations, and it'd have been great if we, you know, had gotten to see something like that. And you know, using some of their library of monsters that they've done. You know, like I always think of like the ones in Disappearing Act, the variety of prehistoric creatures and giants and stuff like that. Not that those are sea monsters, but they can get pretty creative, and I think Filmation would have had a lot of fun with that kind of episode.
Yeah, especially if, like you said, let's say when they're stuck there, and the only person that, let's say, could fly back and forth would be Stratos, but obviously they'd have to communicate with He-Man through telepathy if he's somewhere else, because then you'd have to bring in the Wind Raider and then the vehicles that can fly, because if you're stuck inside Castle Grayskull and trying to defend, it's like, what do you do? And how do you get out? Especially if you were somebody that would be a person that can't fly, doesn't have a vehicle, and you're waiting for help, and you're trying to fend off all these sea creatures. And let's say Merman, obviously, is there with the water and then controlling them to do more. It's like, what can you do? So I like those things when the heroes are kind of like, you know, in defense mode, because it gets you antsy, gets you anxious. And that's why I think it could have been even cooler if there was a way they ever did it in Filmation. That could have been a very stressful episode, because sometimes those stressful episodes are really memorable, you know.
Like House of Chakotay Part 2, to me, that's a stressful episode because... You know, you just standing stuck in this house of horror, and He-Man's trying to find him, and oh God, they're never going to get out of here, kind of thing. So, yeah, it would have been a lot of fun to have seen Filmation do that. Hell, MYP, they probably would. Well, we would have seen a lot of Tila bitching and complaining in that episode, probably.
But it could have been good. I mean, it could have been good. So I like seeing.
But it's a good idea. It's a good idea to have. That be the bulk of your story is trying to survive this massive flood, and you wouldn't necessarily have to have the water. I mean, obviously, Skeletor would be the reason behind it. Like he's flooding the land so severely that it's almost, you know, engulfing Castle Grayskull, and That would be an interesting story to have Skeletor watching the events take place from afar with some of the evil warriors, while like Beastman and Merman are commanding all this variety of creatures to attack Castle Grayskull when they're all stranded there, you know?
Because yeah, I'll be honest with this, I don't know every story that was written, every book, every comic, every cartoon episode, but at least for me, I thought this was the first time I ever seen Castle Grayskull under that type of threat. That's why it makes it memorable, at least for me.
What about
the only time I remember
when Skeletor took it inside a tornado or cyclone? What about that?
No, I said under this type of attack where it's a flood. I don't think I've ever seen
this kind of attack, yes, but to have Castle Grayskull being under a legitimate threat, it's happened plenty of times.
Oh, yeah, sure, it's happened before.
But
it's
not due to flooding.
Yeah, tell me, I've never seen a flood. So if you guys haven't, you can always go online and I'm sure order this off of eBay. But from what Tyler said, you said this
it's
isn't on YouTube.
You know, thanks to no fault of Joe's there.
I'm an idiot.
That you can view the entire story. I just muted it because I didn't want to hear the narrator. Sorry, cool. Fans.
Yep, it shows. Yep, Joe has a lot of bad days. His memory ain't what it used to be. So, again, apologize for that.
We have my steel trap brain there. To
exactly. He's got
actually, when you're going through details, I'm like, you know, I was I read this story once, and I feel like I remember more details than I thought I would.
Yeah, you got the steel trap, and I got the rusted box. So, shit, that's how it is. Sorry about that. All right.
We're live, man. You know.
Apologize.
We're like Sid Vicious cutting a promo. Wait, let me do this. No, it's live, pal. That's what's going on right now. We're cutting a bunch of Sid Vicious promos. You're making me look like a jackass.
Right. So that's the end of the story. At least the next thing we're going to, it'll be good, and then I can give a little thought of an idea I had of a character coming up from this episode. So tell them what episode we're going to do, and tell them when to hit play and what to do, Tyler.
Oh, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure, we invite you to join us for a commentary from Season 1, Song of Solace, the triumphant, true last appearance of Lizard Man, regardless of his brief appearance and rarest gift of all with black skin and wearing spectacles, which I still don't count the character like that. But I'm going to get it all set up. I'm using the first... DVD or the BCI release. I think it's available on YouTube to watch. And you can even watch it on VHS. This episode was available on VHS, which is how I saw this episode. Mm-hmm. But let me get it set up here. One second. It's loading.
And once he sets it up, he'll tell you when to hit play and what part.
Yeah, as soon as I get it up and going here. All right. Okay. Got it right before the Filmation logo. So I'm going to count down from three. When I say play, we encourage you to play at the same time. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Man, all right, here we go.
Some good comfort mind food here, you know, just
an episode that
E-Man playing, you know?
Yeah, and an episode that I do remember when I was a kid, I never wanted to turn off because, you know, I told you so many times, I always waited for new episodes to come on. And when I would see not all three, when I'd see Hal Sutherland, I was like, oh God, what's this going to be? And I always waited to see the first minute of it. And I was like, eh, I don't feel like watching it this time when you'd watch the reruns. But this one, every time it came on, I'd leave it on. It's just, it's memorable, especially obviously the character Selyse, which we'll be seeing because she has the hauntingness of her song, almost like how Paul Rudman was saying on
That her voice was scarier than Chakotay and Lord Master.
I think what he means by that is her haunting song, because when she does this singing, and when she does that, obviously the song she does, it reminds me of like some of these horror movies. I can't remember off the top of my head because I have a horrible memory, but there were some scary movies that sometimes, like Within the Darkness, I don't know if it was Lady in the Water or what it was, but it's some movie had some scary singing within the darkness as these people were moving. And that's what this reminded me of when she would do that. She bellows it out. And it doesn't sound like comforting. It sounds spooky as crap. So maybe that's what Paul meant, is maybe the spookiness of her song.
I was scared so easily as a child, and there was nothing frightening about her as a little guy.
Her song did, I'll admit, I'm with Paul. The song spooked me. She didn't. She's, you know, of course, a sexy character. But there's, of course, there is a part in this episode where you'll see, yes, she does look spooky to me. But
oh, yeah, her eyes go completely white when she's under the spell here, and you see Orko screwing up the gift to give to King Pangus as a goodwill gesture here. But this was written by Michael Reeves, who did the Dragon Invasion and She-Demon the Phantos, to name a couple of his works. He also worked on NYP, worked on New Adventures, worked on Batman the Animated Series. And he does a very good job with this particular episode. I think a lot of fans, you know, universally like this episode. Should have been in the top 10, damn it.
No, it's a good one. Of course, Prince Adam has no...
a very good episode. And I remember when we had James on, James Etock gave this episode not a 2 out of 10, but a 4. And I thought, James, how could you give such a low rating to such an action packed from beginning to end episode here?
Yeah. You knew he wasn't going to transform. You just knew it by the voice. But there she is. Her spooky sound. That quiets. What is it? The Yogg or what is it called?
Yeah, Yogg, who lives underneath Taran. Yeah.
Yeah, and just another brief little thing. You know, earlier you've seen Prince Adam has no boundary issues and reached straight up into underneath Orko to grab that amulet. But we won't discuss that. So we'll just get back to the episode.
Play Joe the Pervert would be thinking along those lines.
Yeah. We'll just say boundaries. But you know, you find out about, you know, the singer, that they have a singer that's always been there to calm the Yogg. Otherwise, it would destroy Taran. Is that what it is, Taran? Is that the name of the place?
Taran, yeah.
Okay, so again, oh, look at this. I love this. Look at that. Look at that scowl from Tila.
Look at Tila. I mean, we got two redheads fighting for Adam's affection here. And even though Tila is busting Adam's balls in every episode, this other woman comes along, and I mean,
she didn't like it.
Wait to.
And look at here she is again. Like, she is so jealous. I mean, but it was weird, right? When they started walking away, immediately the look. He was even holding Selyse's hand before giving her that nice flower, that rose. But
well, here we go. Most interesting.
Yep.
I just thought that was such a very menacing.
He looks wicked. I love some scenes like that.
Skeletor doing what he does. He's sitting, observes, and plots and schemes. And For some reason, this giant statue of Skeletor was always appealing to me as a kid. I always just thought it looked kind of cool.
Yep, and you hear, of course, Evelyn talking about to love to see the real Skeletor like that. But, you know, I did like that earlier when he was sitting in his chair. It's just, I love that way how he was drawn so sinister, because that's what, you always wish to see more of. Because within time, yes, didn't seem like we got as many views and looks of him like that. And, of course, then you barely see Panther anymore. I know he's in a good amount of episodes, not a ton, but I always liked his, companion next to him. And there's
Here he is, the
just lazy. You see,
legendary lizard man.
The lazy lizard man just sitting there. He is just laying, doing nothing, and
yeah, he can do whatever he wants, man. Lizard man's cool as hell.
Yep.
It's just fun to see this one shot hero duking it out with the evil warriors. Like he is a legitimate part of this universe, not just some random character thrown in. Like he's aware of these guys. They're aware of him.
He's like an acrobat. That's what I felt like, they kind of had him. He felt like an acrobatic type of character. And it's a shame we didn't.
I've always felt that in battle, that Lizard Man would kind of do like a speedball special, like Colossus and Wolverine. Like He-Man would grab Lizard Man and hurl him, and Lizard Man would ball himself up and become like an actual cannonball to knock down a bunch of evil warriors.
I wish we could have got more of him. I would have loved to see him actually in action. And here, for whatever reason, Teela does absolutely nothing. I mean, I know Trapjaw is holding his gun up right there to keep, everybody at bay, but it's like
we didn't have that, then we would get to have, here we go, man. Adam getting to be the alpha male here.
No,
Say the feisty, the other, or the common collected beautiful redhead here.
Yeah, you got it. Well, you always have to have
have our hero saving the damsel in distress here. And if Teela comes in, she's just going to trip over herself or trip over her tampons.
I felt like they should at least had her do something, and of course that Evelyn, do something to keep Teela at bay, but just to have her almost completely ignored. I mean, they showed nothing. They just went from one thing to another, and eventually she pops back up, but I just wish they would have showed a little bit more of her doing something.
Well, I like to think that, Evelyn and Trapjaw are a bit overwhelming for Teela, even though Teela is Captain of the Guard, extremely skilled. We are dealing with a sorceress and a cyborg equipped with multiple arm attachments for weapons.
He's not a cyborg. Twistoid's a cyborg. Remember that. Not Trapjaw. Twistoid. That's a side thing. Just always remember that. Twistoid isn't
talking about a human being with robotic parts on him is not a cyborg.
I know, exactly. I'm being a smart aleck.
I'm not saying that Trapjaw should be called a cyborg on his card.
No, I know.
But the basic description fits a cyborg.
Oh, there's Teela. Now, here's the thing. Of course, I'm just giving Teela a little rough time because...
Of course you are, Joe.
Because we know in a little while she will...
We're having one of our rough nights here, so we're due just to kind of, bust each other's balls here.
She will be doing something later, because that's what I was getting. Yeah. I was like, wow, they had her do absolutely nothing against Teela. I mean, I'm sorry, against Evelyn and against Trapjaw, which she's seen a million times, but she will go after something that is so menacing. I'm like, oh, but you go after that thing, huh? Well, she did something good. She saved him real quick, so at least that's good. Of course, Oracle couldn't fly away from the water, but I'll never mention that about always talking about floating. So now they got to figure out what to do. They got to figure out who's going to go get Solace, and well, of course, what's going to happen. E-Man's got to take care.
E-Man's going to make sure Lizard Man's coming with me, man. Us cool kids, we're going to go after y'all. Teela, you and your pretentious father there, you go create some new weapon and go after Solace.
Which, like I said, the episode is fun and I love Solace, but there was just
there's a lot going on in this episode. I mean, as we're approaching our first of the Race Against Time sequences here with Teela and Man at Arms going to find Solace, and they're given a major detour here thanks to Beastman here.
Which, yes, again, shows the power of Beastman beyond him just being, a savage fighter. He gets to control his beasts like he does. That's what you like seeing. And look up.
My Beastman, did you see that?
What's that?
Skeletor's throne was also visible behind Beastman, even though while Skeletor was sitting in his throne.
Well, that's how good Skeletor is, man. He can double up his throne. He's a master of illusion.
See the guy wanting to have multiple chairs around his house, like someone would like to have a bunch of Lazy Boy chairs around the house. Why not a couple of bone thrones?
It's like around the dining room table. People have the same chairs. Skeletor just has a bunch of them. Bam! You see that big giant beast right there just took Man at Arms down, And, of course, Tito's going to go after him. But you're right. There's so much happening in this episode because, as you're going to see, at one point, it does a lot of He-Man, this scene, He-Man. It does it real quick. They're just like back and forth, because they're trying to track the Yogg. And then, of course, He-Man says, Battle Cat can pick up his scent. That's the only thing that ever killed me. I was like, how? You've never seen this thing. You don't know what it is. There's tons of creatures in this cave. How do you know what?
Quite certain that there's something very specific down in that cave. I'm sure Battlecat can.
There's orcs there. It's like, how do you know what the hell it smells like? You never smelled it. That was just me.
Go customize something, will you?
He's like, listen, there, now boom.
Go kick some ass here. Go customize a light bulb.
Custom. No. See, you just seen it went from this spot. Now it's going to go to this spot. And,
I hate t-shirts with that image of Skeletor that say chilling like a villain. Man, those things suck.
The head to pop into your head, huh?
I don't know why it did, but I feel like you and I are just kind of in a kind of irritated mood when we're doing this podcast here tonight for some reason. I have no idea why. It's like we kind of got off into this unusual, like, you know, slapping. We're like the Three Stooges right now. We're constantly going at each other here.
Yeah, well, hey, and there we go. Now, see, look, that's one. Look how quick it's going from this scene.
Here we go. Oh, man, I always love this action sequence here with the He-Man, Lizard-Man, Battlecat, Orca taking on the orcs.
Yeah, and, like, you see him all doing stuff. That's what's cool. Yeah. I mean, Orko's bam, he's using his magic. Battlecat's throwing him off like nothing. But you even see Lizard-Man showing his, you know, agility, how quick he is, you know, basically like, oh, here goes the bam. I move, you're done. He-Man, take care of the rest. So it's cool. They're all working together. It's like they're all having a purpose. At least you see, it's like Lizard Man wasn't there just to not do anything. They're trying to actually use
him. That's what people want to see when someone like Fisto or Buzz Off or Mechanet shows up. You want to see them interacting with He-Man and engaging in the battle.
Just not to be in the background not doing anything, but an actual purpose. And you're going to see more of Lizard Man. That's what I liked. It's like, okay, they're showcasing him and they're using him for a lot of scenes. So it's good that he wasn't just the background character doing nothing. Because you're going to... What's that?
I was going to say, for fans of Lizard Man like myself, check out James E. Talk's video about Whiplash on his He-Man official YouTube channel. And you'll see there's a connection between Lizard Man and Whiplash, if you have not viewed that.
Okay.
Which kind of shows the origins of Lizard Man. I love this shot, too. This was on the back of the VHS, all of them.
And here comes the spookiness right there. Tyler, I cannot tell you how freaked out that made me as a kid.
Evil Inn looks like tough as nails there.
Yeah, but God, like,
I mean, the standing around with your arms crossed, man. These guys are a bunch of badasses.
He's the first customizer right there, Skeletor. He made that Castle Grayskull out of a stone from Grayskull. He did now, it
himself. Can you customize a Castle Grayskull model out of a stone, Joe?
Yeah, no, I don't think I could, but shoot, look at and see. Testing it, wants to see will this work when she sings her song, because as you know, her song not only controls the Yogg but can do stuff to rocks and other things. So that's his whole point of when he gets Elise. And you see Teela running around with that staff the whole time, so you knew obviously what's going to happen. You know when something's going to happen in the cartoon. Anytime they have a certain thing, you know, oh, this is what they're going to do. So she has that.
See her with like that kind of diamond staff from Mystery Man and Faces, or her snake staff. You know, she does use a staff on occasion, like she did in Teela's Quest, for example.
Yeah. This was more just a pull. Yeah, she pole vaulted and left that behind. I'll tell you that this is for me the one time I felt like, why did they? Of course, yes, they have to have Teela trying to save Dave, which is cool to help her father. But Man at Arms is fighting him with a stick, and I'm thinking, why not use your blasters that you have in the intro? You have blasters. Why are you not using this? You and Teela knew you were going into a place that'd probably be dangerous. At least Teela came prepared. She's got these beads that blow up like dynamite.
Well, you know, it's probably safe to say that Man-at-Arms has probably used those blasters, but on a giant centipede that size, I can't imagine those blasters doing a whole hell of a lot.
I think it'd be better than that damn stick, though. That's what I mean. It's like,
that's probably all he's got now. The blasters are probably used up. He probably just grabs a random stick and this is all I got. You know?
That looks pretty good. He'll make sure he has a reason. I'll figure out a reason he's not using them blasters. He used them up. Now he's stuck with a stick that he found.
The stick here. Hey, I'm trying to defend the logic behind Man-at-Arms, you know, weaponry here, and Joe's trying to find every reason. It's like, hey, man, this doesn't make any sense here.
You should have came with more. They knew,
like the intro.
Well, they knew they were going into a dangerous area. They knew what they were planning. So, Brain, come prepared. Don't come with, from what you said, ran out of energy, but okay, then we'll do the backup. But yeah.
Captain Logic.
Yeah, Captain Logic, you know me, gotta do it. And now you have to do
smile
it.
There
we go. Now, Selyse, you gotta do it. You get shed a little tear for the sorceress, apologize, but it's gotta be done.
Nice touch. And I guess this is where you and Paul kind of lose your minds here with this haunting song being played that puts the sorceress down. And
it makes it spooky. Really, that is spooky. And then the sorceress goes into the sexiest pose in the history of the sorceress in that spot right there. That's been memed before. And it'll be memed because somebody else is going to show up. But now, yeah, you see they're going to, okay, right after this scene, we're going to transition into the other where obviously you're thinking, hey, they might have finally got the Yogg, but nope. It's not where it should be because it's following the song of Selyse. It follows it, it haunts it, it keeps it at bay, but I guess it must still need to hear that, so it's attracted to her song, but it keeps it at bay. Is that what you'd say?
It relaxes it, and obviously if he's woken up, doesn't necessarily mean he's under attack, but he reacts to it, and obviously if this is the only thing he's ever known for generations, you know, you kind of expect that, you know, it's like a comfort blanket. If he hears it, he's going to go follow it because that's what relaxes him.
Exactly, to help him sleep. And then when it's not hearing it any longer,
Evelyn pisses him off. And I, as we're approaching this here, I have to say that when the He-Man thing kicks into gear here, when Beastman gets in the basher and then He-Man, Lizardman, Battlecat, and Orca come running out of the cave and the He-Man thing kicks in, it gives me goosebumps every time I watch it. Here we go. Oh, man, here we go. You will not stop me, Grayson. Oh, man, this is fantastic here.
What I love here, though, again, it always shows the goodness of He-Man. Because as he grabs, is it the basher or what is that thing called?
Basher, yeah.
Okay, as he grabs the basher, he's basically letting Beastman know, okay, it's now or never to get out of here because he's going to throw this damn thing and destroy it. So he actually here is helping Beastman. Like, get out of this thing, or you're going with it, and if it goes into a mountain.
That Beastman can't get the hell out of there.
And that's cool. I liked it. And here, again, a purpose for Lizardman to try to get in there to see what's going on with the sorceress. So, but Lizardman, like I said, he's having purpose, and I think he's enjoying his little view. He's a pervert.
I see so much done with Lizardman. I want to see Lizardman used in more media.
It would be good, in a proper way.
Yeah, but not he's going to take liberties and decide to.
Oh, that, wait! I had to say,
Larry.
Yeah, you know what I liked right there? What you seen was I think Beastman had a big rock, but there was Man at Arms with another stick. He's the master of sticks. It's like, where are you finding all these? That's all he's using to do anything. Man at Arms in his sticks for this episode. This was to me one of the one times it seemed like Man at Arms seemed absolutely worthless. He served no purpose at all except.
To be fair, too, he was supposed to have been in the episode earlier on. Like, he was supposed to be in that sequence at Taran as well. So he just kind of shows up out of the blue.
Yeah, and then we see this crazy bubble that, I forgot what he called it.
Zero-G bubble.
Ah, that was it. Yeah, to keep Skeletor again.
Yucks.
To keep him at bay. But I was so glad, you know, when you were seeing the Yogg there. And you know how it was in a lot of episodes. Sometimes you'd see, like, just the hand of a demon or something else from a demon, you're like, oh man, we're not going to see this whole thing. But you at least, thank God, do see it. I love it. I have to say something. I love that.
Grabbing that, a whole Grayskull, like attempting to just tear it to pieces. Just
in that image you see of Castle right there, I always love that depiction. It looks so spooky of Castle Grayskull from that view, you know, compared to the normal we always see head on. I love that depiction of Castle Grayskull. So spooky. And then now you...
Dropping down here, not knowing what he's going to be coming up, and then boom, there
that's
he
a
is.
Big, yeah, that's a big creature.
Yeah.
And what do we see? There you go.
Big hole and just knock.
Murderer. Yep, there we see. He-Man killed him. Murderer. So who says He-Man doesn't kill? He just killed that thing. Nothing can survive that giant drop. So He-Man's a killer. I've said it before, I'll say it again.
Yeah, he had every right to take the life of that creature, though.
That's terrible.
I'm not gonna say it was. It was. What's the? I guess it. It was justice. Just pure cold justice. That's what it was.
Yeah, had to do it. I guess
no jury and on eternity it would have found He-Man guilty of you know manslaughter, animal cruelty for that one.
Up and see JSP. He's in the chat room and he was saying, "Yep, Man at Arms knows how to use a stick." So you're right. He sure does. He's used it quite a bit in this episode. His main weapon. But I felt bad for Selyse because you know she gives her speech of figuring, you know, what is she even, you know, what's she to do now? Now that He-Man got rid of the Og, the only thing she ever did was, you know, kept that thing at bay. Like she felt like her purpose, she doesn't have a purpose no more. But they let her know that obviously she's still needed. And it would have been great to have her in more episodes. Could you imagine her like
it could have been a heroic warrior. I mean her coming
heck yeah.
Outfit, like a battle outfit. I mean we're talking about somebody who can manipulate life or inanimate objects with her.
She wasn't even needed. Think of it. She wasn't even needed.
It puts Source out of commission. I mean, that is a very powerful being.
That's what I mean. You could have pictured her more in like a giant war with some of the enemies, and she comes out to sing to put the enemies to sleep or put them into a daze. She doesn't need a new outfit. It's like, you just better watch out, because if Selyse comes out, she's going to put you guys out. So that was how it was. It was a great episode. It was one that did spook me with her song and the way she looked. I'll agree. I'm right there with Paul Rudman when he said that. So it was a great one. And I wanted to say one thing about a figure. This is an idea that I have because obviously you know, I'm with figures and other collectible things or whatever. I think if Selyse was made, which she will be made, she has to be made, she'd be a great figure. Okay, we had the laser versions to where they kind of can light up. You know, they made an exception for the classic figures, you know, to where there's an electronic feature. I think she could come with just a little base. Little stand, almost like the top of that one rock or pillar she was on, but just have it be a smaller base to represent it. She stands on it, you hit a button, and it plays that spooky, haunting song of hers just for like 10 seconds of it. I think she deserves something that could jazz it up, to give a spooky song, to hear that spookiness. I love that with a lot of my other figures from other lines, where there's a bass bite, you hit a button, and it plays a sound effect. Some of my Halloween stuff does that, like even my Michael Myers, my giant one. You push it, it plays the theme song, does other stuff, but Selyse deserves it. I really think that's actually, it is a cool idea to give her a mini bass with a button to play that haunting song. That's what she's known for. Why not do it?
I think mainly because there's been so many characters in the classics toy line that never got their actual action feature acknowledged or incorporated, and we're going to give Selyse a voice. You know, like
well, that would be cool. I mean, honestly, no, really. I mean, admit it. I mean, obviously now Super 7 is doing other stuff, and I think they can give, if any company can jazz up to give an extra, I mean, there's no accessory that I think they should even give her, but I would honestly think that could be a pretty cool damn little base. Just give her a cool base, hit a button. It's her main thing she's known for. And I think since some of the figures later on in the line got little things you never thought you'd get, why not give something to Selyse like that? I think it would just make the figure even cooler. I know I'd hit that button probably a lot just to hear that spooky song.
I know I'd like it. I kind of think along the lines that I'd rather do a quality job on the figure than to do it.
Oh, they would.
I'm just saying, you know, I almost feel like there was always an issue with other classic figures. Like, well, you know, what do you guys want? Do you guys want to pay more money to get action features thrown in, or do you want a good quality figure with no action features and we keep the price point down? So, you know, I in that regard, I'm always thinking of price point. I'd rather pay, you know, good money for a good quality sculpt and I have to pay extra money for the voice box. However, the voice box would be very nice to have with her.
Yeah. See, but, I mean, you're right. There's a lot of things that obviously you know
thinking along the lines that that's the kind of mentality that the fans have had to deal with for so long, is that they can't afford to do action features and incorporate a lot of the gimmicks with these figures, because otherwise we're going to be paying a price that people are really going to be outraged about.
All right, because I'll shoot something. Again, you know me, I shoot ideas. I only do these ideas, Tyler, just to like give people something to think, hey, maybe it
could be cool. I really wish I hadn't gone down that route, because I felt like that takes a lot of the fun, and I don't like being practical Polly. I don't like doing that, because Fans of Power is supposed to be fun and energy. Man, what the hell was going on here? I feel like my energy level just felt like I was too sarcastic. I was downbeat.
Don't worry about it. Well, first, real quick, JSP does say he thinks that sounds like it'd be a good idea for a voice box. But here's the reason I have these ideas. Even though I know, yes, half of the stuff would probably never happen. It's just me doing customs. I always get these crazy ideas. I think a great feature to jazz her up, especially if, like, let's say hypothetically, she was a hard sell and people thought, eh, I didn't want her. Of course I would. This is what I think would be cool.
Yeah, I'd definitely take her.
Yeah, this is what I would think would be a cool idea if you wanted to have, like, even say if you consider her a deluxe figure instead of paying, whatever, $30, you paid $40. What if you had the Solis figure, you had a little bit of a base part to where she stood on that displayed the haunting music, and as for an accessory, it would be cool as hell if they did give that little mini Castle Grayskull that Skeletor had. What if it came with a mini Castle Grayskull in that look? I know it's too much. I know the people say it's a lot of tooling, but hypothetically, if they could jazz her up by having a figure, that voice thing to hit a button, and that to spice it up, hell, I'd pay $40, $45 to have all of that together.
I need a little Castle Grayskull to go with it, though.
It's a cool accessory. I'm just thinking, like I said, it's my
thing. Then it becomes like, what do you do with it? You know, we don't have a Snake Mountain kind of interior, you know, backdrop or even a council table to set it on. It kind of feel like it becomes one of those accessories like that. What do you do with it? You know, well, how do
it'd
you
be cool. It? I could see a lot of people like they love doing their dioramas, but even people that don't do it, I think it would just be a nice, cool little thing. There's plenty of accessories that some people might think, huh, why? But I just think it'd be cool as hell just have a mini Castle Grayskull. But just ideas, like I said, I know that shit ain't gonna, that stuff ain't gonna happen. But just ideas to try to jazz her up. But definitely, give her a little voice stand. I think it'd just be a cool little exception to the rule, especially if they're gonna try to do more Super 7. I think they will. If anybody could, they could do it. But just an idea, just to jazz her up.
I'm perfectly content just getting the figure herself. You know, give me a good sculpt and make her look spot on. I'm sold on that. I mean, she's a character that doesn't require a whole lot of tooling. She's a very, very simple character to do, and I'd be perfectly content. You know, I'd say that's when you throw in a Trollin with her or a Widget. You know, because she doesn't come with, she wouldn't need anything, honestly. So
yeah, that's why I was having those ideas. It's just because I know that.
I'd rather keep it simple and include a little pack-in character to come with her. You know, obviously, you know, a Widget or a Trollin has nothing to do with the episode, but it would be a way of getting a little extra bonus thing, an actual figure, in the replacement of weapons and other accessories and stuff like that. Why not just start packing in a little smaller character in with a lot of these later you know, I guess lesser known characters that are very specific to episodes or books. And
well, they sure as hell would be taking long enough. You'd figure if we would have had them, we should have them by now. I don't know if they're waiting on three packs. They want to do a Driel, Montork, and maybe
even. Yeah, it is. It's very, very odd that, you know, as popular as Driel and Uncle Montork are with Filmation fans and a lot of He-Man fans, that not one other Trollin has been made. In this line, I mean, we're going. This line started in what, 2008?
It's, I think so. It's been quite a long time.
2009, I think. I'm not talking about when King Grayskull came out in San Diego. I'm talking about when Beastman came out with the first figure to buy was Beastman.
And I remember, you're talking to No Memory Joe. I wouldn't even have a clue. But
you're right. It seems like we would have gotten at least one other Trollin. At some point, you know, I mean, we've, you know, as a pack-in, you know, or something, as like a little bonus thing, instead we've got Nephthu.
Yeah. Like I said, the only reason I ever say these ideas is just to throw something different out there.
But, you know, I mean, yes, as we've heard before, you know, this tour line can keep going on because of ideas like that Joe is coming up with. There's so many characters that are not variants that still would look great made by the Four Horsemen with some great card art done by Axel on the back of the packaging and things like that, you know? I mean, as we said before, characters like the Game Master and his henchmen and his lizard garden guards. And you've got the Braylock Demon of the Night. You've got Zem from Return of Granomir, who was also the same style character in A Friend in Need. I hate that episode. I don't think it's a very good episode at all.
And how about another two-pack? Why don't you just have, it'd be a big beast, but you could have Damar the Demon with the little baby Damar the Demon. I think that would just
be... And that's a that's something which, oddly enough, was on that poll, which was the young Damar the Demon. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'd like to have Damar the Demon because I like that episode.
Yeah. I think they kept the big one off because they might be thinking of Giants, because I think that's why Cambro wasn't there either, because it was kind of curious. There was no Cambro. There was no big Damar the Demon. So maybe they're going to do a different poll with Giants. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. But Dragoon is he's not an exaggeration on my part. He's a character, I think, that is heavily demanded. People have customized their own Dragoons many times.
Yeah, they did some great ones, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's safe to say that I'd like to think that, and of course, Super 7 has not introduced a beast character since they've taken over. So I'd like to think that the first larger scale character they do would be Dragoon.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Yeah, so. Possibly that would be the one that Jor-El comes with.
And that would be nice. So let's just cross our fingers.
Doing that we would finally get a Trollin with Dragoon, and I could see that being Dreel. So, which I would be, I think, you know, only the angriest He-Man fan would be like, man, I don't want that. I ain't signing up for that.
I think they'd want it. I sure would hope so. But
yeah.
Well, that was this episode, guys. And really, I apologize for the beginning for if it was sounding a little rough and everything that happened.
It is a memorable episode for us,
Joe. No, it did. And then if it sounded like we were sounding down or angry at any point, it's a good episode. Apologize if it came off across any other way. It wasn't trying to be negative at all. Just like I said, my opinion. Everybody has their
opinions. I was negative during a lot of this, too.
Like I said, it's just opinions. I mean, again, everybody has their own opinion, and I'm not against anybody's. If they want stuff, they like stuff, more power to them. And there's things I want
because
me too.
And focus on so much because we spent our job doing this podcast is to promote the hell out of why there's so much that's great and needs to be recognized and appreciated and understood and sought out and viewed. We don't spend a whole lot of time being negative, and I guess it kind of. You know, it sounds
different. I mean, because you're right.
It does sound different, you know, because we're not a podcast of, you know, angry, you know, bitchy fanboys, you know.
Sounds off because we're always trying, like I said, to be positive and enjoy as much as possible. Sometimes the thing comes up, it comes up. But at least, hey, next week, it's our 100th episode special. We got a cool guest lined up that's this is somebody that experienced Masters in a way none of us did before. So it's going to be cool when we have him on next week. And he should have some very interesting stories for us, too. So, well, before we wrap it up, Tyler, you got anything you're closing with? Anything you want to update fans on or anything?
Don't have any updates from Carsten. I know he was making some changes to the interior panels that he either wasn't happy with or wanted to change up. I haven't heard anything else other than that. So nothing else to promote on that. And I don't have a recommendation lined up. I really I can't think of anything to suggest because I don't even know if people even pay attention to my recommendations. I've never gotten one acknowledgement that they that listeners like, you know, I always take your recommendations to into consideration or anything like this.
They may not say it, but I'm sure they do. Like I said, they don't say. Not everybody speaks, but I'm sure they do. But
right, so you know what? I'm this week. I'm going to recommend Orko's Return of Orko's Uncle again. Okay. Because I had done it before, but in the in regarding to the new poll and whatever new polls that may come up and about, we need people to acknowledge that Spydra and Azrog and Montork all need to be brought into the classics line. And if you you're thinking like, well, who are those characters? Or I don't really know if I would agree with that. I don't recommend something unless I really think that it sticks out for, and I at some point we'll do a commentary for that episode. And if you have not been convinced before then, I'd like to think that the commentary for Return of Orko's Uncle will do it justice and make you feel like, all right, yes, those are three characters that need to be created by the Four Horsemen in plastic form. So I know I've repeated that, but that's my recommendation for this week.
Okay. And well, I wanted to thank everybody that was in the chat room. JSP and Carson was there, and Eltenda, or he got a.
Are we talking? You know, Carson, or because I know there's like a couple of different Carson.
Oh yeah, it was Carson Clinch. He was in here for a bit.
Okay, I wish I'd known Carson, dude. I wish I'd have known that was you. I know there's another Carson.
Well, he was here for a bit. He was here for a bit, but then it's very late where he's at in Germany. Oh, okay. So,
well, Carson, if you're hearing this, I apologize. I didn't know. I thought so, but I didn't want to assume because I figured you where you're at. I didn't think you were going to be listening to this anyway, so that was my fault. So, hello, Carson. I'm glad you did check in when you did, bud.
Yeah. So it was good having him and everybody in JSP and everybody that was in the chat room. And next week we'll be back to being upbeat. These episodes happen, but hey, like I said, it just happens. It's live. Something goes on, but whatever. It was a pleasure having you guys join us in the chat room. So let me just say what I always say. You go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to hemanworld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe, He-Man is your ultimate fan group. All great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
Oh, excuse me. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is John Kimball, and I love my car.
Now that is Kindergarten Coppin. That's a great movie. So there we go. See?
I'm such a badass in that movie.
There, at least my brain worked for half a second. It was really off tonight, so. All right.
Everything is off, but you know what? We've done 99 episodes. I think we're entitled to have, you know, a night where both of us were just... We're like a couple of... We're doing multi-ball in a pinball machine. We're all over the place.
It was. It happens, but hope you guys enjoyed it. But next week, we have a really good one. So hope to see you all here next week and you join in with us. And see you guys next week then.
Take care.